Welcome to Quantum of Solace with David Robertson, and I'm Al Smith from the Solace Centre for Public Christianity. We're going to be taking a look at some of the news stories that caught our attention over the last couple of weeks, and it's all going to be based around the theme of culture. If you've got any young children listening to this, you may want to be aware that we're going to be talking about issues of a sexual nature, so you may want to be plugging in your headphones, or you may want to listen to this out of the range of young ears, shall we say. John Whittingdale, the Conservative Member of Parliament, who's the minister who heads up the Department of Culture, Media and Sport in the British government, he's been involved in a sex scandal.
You do realise that what's happened to him recently that's been in the news is a sign of a maturing democracy. Did you know that?
Yeah, I mean, another way of saying that is that we as a culture have just become so desensitised to political sex scandals that they no longer even register on a seared moral conscience. Our expectations have fallen that low.
You weren't alive when the Profumo scandal occurred, were you?
No, it was before my time.
Basically, in the Profumo scandal, a government minister was found having a relationship with a Russian spy, actually, a prostitute, who turned out to be working for the Russians. And of course, that meant that he lost his job, brought down the government. Now, what happens today? We find that we have a culture secretary who has been having a relationship with a dominatrix. And that this was stopped when he discovered what was going on. And that someone went round trying to sell it to the press for, this has been available for about 2 years. And it's become public now, and people have said, so what? It's nobody's business. And this is a sign of a mature democracy. And isn't it good that the press are growing up? Except
the press knew about it, but they didn't want to report it.
People say they don't want to report it because people are no longer interested. We're not concerned in sex scandals. It's only tax scandals. And we have the bizarre thing. And here I'm going to do something really strange. I'm going to defend David Cameron. With the Panama thing and the tax scandal of his father having given him money that he'd kept in an account in Panama, there was nothing illegal.
Nope.
And whether it's immoral or not is dependent on your view of how our society is run, but that is how our society is run. And so therefore, I don't think Cameron did any wrong, but there were people there demanding his resignation. Almost nobody has been demanding the resignation of Whittingdale. And I find that juxtaposition quite interesting.
That tells us an awful lot about where we are as a society today.
Does it matter if someone's sexual relationships, if we're voting for them? In one sense, no. In another sense, yes. Well, let me put it another way. In terms of a church minister, does it matter if your minister, who he sleeps with or not?
Of course it matters.
Why?
Because actually we have a standard by which they're to be measured.
Right. So that's in the church, and we accept that. But what about politicians?
Well, it matters to a certain extent because it speaks to the wider issue of character and whether somebody is, what their character is.
And also politicians are also servants of God as well. But here's the other thing. I mean, let's leave aside that for a moment. Let's think about the hypocrisy of the press, because there's also fuss just now that there's a celebrity who's been in a sex scandal in England, and it's not been allowed in the English press, but it has been in the American media.
And it's also been in the Scottish printed press, actually, because we've got a different legal system here in Scotland, but we can't talk about it online, or we can't even talk about it on this podcast, because of it could be heard by listeners in England. This celebrity has taken out one of these super injunctions to prevent disclosure of his identity.
Paradoxically, newspapers like The Sun are saying, what about freedom of press? People have a right to know, but they also refuse to publish about Whittingdale. Why do you think there's this disparity?
Well, perhaps someone who is much more cynical than I am might come to the conclusion that, as John Whittingdale has within his brief regulation of the press, and the fact that he's been very resistant at implementing some of the recommendations made by the Levinson inquiry into the freedom of the press, that might have something to do with it.
Private Eye, as always, and I've always recommended this magazine, has got far better information on this than anyone else. And they point out to how Paul Dacre of the Daily Mail and others referred to Whittingdale as our asset. And even the Independent, who share the same offices as the Daily Mail, they had the story given to them by one of their own journalists and they refused to publish it. And again, we don't want to damage our asset. Doesn't that just speak volumes? They regarded him as an asset. Yet he remains as Culture Secretary.
Now to the people at home or in the crowd, it keeps coming up anyhow. Don't decoy, avoid, or make void the topic, cause that ain't gonna stop it. Now just talk about sex on the radio and video shows. Many will know anything goes. Let's tell it like it is and how it could be, how it was, and of course how it should be.
Culture is expressed in many different forms. It comes across in the music, in terms of literature, in terms of art. And it's also expressed in terms of television. And there's a new show on Channel 4 which speaks volumes about where Britain is at as a culture at the moment. The show is called Sex Box. It's a programme where people will come on and have sex inside a big white Perspex box in front of a live studio audience. They'll then come out and talk about it with the show's resident sexpert, and one of the presenters will basically make jokes all the way through.
Yeah, and I debated back and forward about talking about this in my own head because I find it sick, but we have to know where we're at as a culture. And maybe the best thing to do is to refer to an article written by Theo Hobson on the 14th of April on the Spectator Coffee House. Because the previous night, Channel 4 had broadcast a programme by Trevor Phillips in which he worried about the integration of British Muslims. Okay, but the night before that, Channel 4 broadcast a programme about the merits of having sex with a complete stranger. They got a couple of people together who were strangers, put them in a box in front of an audience, and then got them to come out and talk about having sex. By the way, it is the complete mechanization of sex. It is the very antithesis of the Christian understanding of sex, which is about love. Now, Theo Hobson, let me read a little bit of what he said. He says, "My point is that sensationalist TV is guilty of falsifying who we are as a nation in a way that alienates people with traditional moral views. I consider the makers of that program a greater threat to British culture than any peddler of Islamist propaganda. If I were somehow detached from mainstream British culture and saw that show, I would assume that it was more representative of British culture than it is." You know this, you're a Muslim and you move to this country from Syria. And you watch something like Sexbot. I'm sorry, but when you start thinking, well, I'm free to molest people or whatever, I see the connection. This is not adulthood. This is juvenile. This is pathetic. This is abusive. This is puerile. This is perverted. Am I going over the top?
And there's another article actually by Theo Hobson, again in The Spectator, that explains why you're right to be concerned about this. He makes the point that what we watch on TV normalizes behavior. This is what he wrote. "Such programs have the power to change a culture a notch or two. This sort of program has a little bit of power to say this exhibitionism is now culturally normal and objecting to it is abnormal and reactionary. It's dangerous to allow television too much freedom because it has some power to define what is normal."
Yeah, absolutely.
What he's getting at is a wider point, and it's this. How do you change the morals of a nation? You get us to laugh at sin. You take the positive feelings that we can get from entertainment, like laughter and enjoyment, and you associate them with sin. I mean, that's what happens with repeated viewing over time. The two become linked in our subconscious. I mean, that's why TV soaps and comedies are such effective vehicles for changing public perception about any of the issues, combining laughter with sin. It's a pattern, actually, we've seen over the last 40 years in TV. I mean, Sex Box is actually just the most recent and the most blatant example of it. That's why there's such a strong warning in the Bible about sort of crude language and joking. I mean, that's why the Bible warns us to pursue holiness, to seek purity. I mean, that's why we're commanded to be transformed by the renewal of our mind.
This is sadly an indictment of where British culture is today, that we have this perverted, and I'm using that word deliberately, this perverted view of God's great gift of sex. You know what the devil always does? He takes God's gifts and he perverts them. And that's what's being done with this. And we should be absolutely and totally ashamed as a culture.
John Piper made a really helpful podcast recently about the TV show Game of Thrones, and he pinpointed some excellent general principles that Christians should be thinking about before they go to consume any media, actually. We'll put a link to that on the Solace blog post for Quantum 64, which you can find on solace-cpc.org.
It's not that easy being green, having to spend each day the color of the leaves, when I think it could be nicer being red or yellow or gold or something much more colorful like that.
Now, one of the consequences of the current attitudes towards sex in our culture is the issue of abortion. The Green Party, this is another sign of where our culture is at. The Green Party are now requiring that all their candidates support the issue of abortion on demand.
Yeah. Now, this is an important issue, and for all our listeners to understand, in Britain, traditionally, amongst all the parties, individual MPs or MSPs are free to express their view because it's considered an issue of personal morality.
Yeah, conscience.
An issue of conscience. Now, the Greens have broken that because the Greens have said all MSPs must support what they euphemistically call reproductive rights and the removal of abortion from the criminal justice system.
This is the Green Party in Scotland.
Green Party in Scotland.
And this is something that they've published in their manifesto for the Scottish elections that are happening on the 5th of May.
What most people are not aware is that abortion is illegal in Scotland. It's a crime. Except where two doctors have to agree that it would be more harmful to the mother or to the child than if the birth were to continue. Yeah. Now, in my view, that makes most abortions impossible. But we've got a dishonest system. But fundamentally, the system is abortion is illegal. The Greens want to change that. In effect, they want abortion on demand
anytime.
Up to birth.
Remember that article you were interviewed by the Herald a while ago, and they were saying there is no political demand. There's no political case for extending abortion rights. Now we're seeing it. This is what we warned about months ago.
In my role as moderator of the Free Church, which lasts about another month, I issued a statement which has been carried in the press. I said impossible for any Bible-believing Christian to vote for the Greens if this was in their manifesto. People say, well, wait a minute, you can't tell people how to vote. No, but I'll tell you this. I would advise people not to vote for a racist. I have no qualms.
Absolutely.
No qualms about saying, don't touch the BNP with a barge pole. Yeah. As a Christian, I think it's really, really wrong. We'll get in trouble for that. And I'm going to say the same thing about the Greens, because this is not individual Green candidates. It's not even a single issue thing. If you vote for this party, you are deliberately voting for a policy which says that the child in the womb can be killed. I don't see how it can be done. Supposing they had lots of other good policies and they were racist, I wouldn't vote for them. And I regard advocating the killing of children in the womb up to birth as bad as, at least, racism.
I must admit, I'm having the same problem as a lifelong supporter of the SNP and independence. I can't in all good conscience vote for the SNP as a party this time because of the commitments in their manifesto. I guess it's just going to come down to the individual candidate now.
We don't smoke marijuana in Muskogee. We don't take our trips on LSD. We don't burn our draft cards down on Main Street. We like living right, being free.
Some sad news from America, the death of Merle Haggard.
Yeah, now we're talking about culture. I know, Al, you're a big country and western fan.
No. I'm like a lot of folk probably from the UK. This is alien concept to me. What's so good about Merle Haggard?
Okay. Merle Haggard, for me, is a genius. He represents a group which is significantly underrepresented in mainstream culture, and that is white, working class young men in the States and also here. He actually wrote some really, really good songs. Whether Okie from Muskogee was an ironic song people have argued about, I think he meant it. I think he reflected white working class values of many people in the United States. And good for him. His life at times was a mess. He, by the way, was in San Quentin when Johnny Cash recorded his San Quentin album. He was inspired to go into country music because of that. He died last week, aged 79. He had 71 top 10 country hits in all, 34 in a row from 1967 to 1977. A great song, Working Man Blues, as another one as well. I'm not the biggest fan of country music. I do have to say that. But I recognize what I would call genuineness and skill and ability and a depth in Merle Haggard that, how will I put it? I think there's a lot of the music that comes across today is plastic music. One thing Merle Haggard was not was plastic. Anyway,
okay.
We shall see you next week. Thank you again for listening to Quantum of Solace.
Yo. We're part of a culture that really loves to hate us. Every chance they get, they attempt to isolate and debate us. It's not that they don't like us, it's just they don't like God in us. It's common knowledge, and oddly enough, it makes a lot of sense to a lot of us. We completely understand because we used to occupy the same space and lived in a similar type state until we tasted of God's grace. So we continue loving this world that so easily rejects us and passionately press past the lack of their cultural acceptance. And as if there weren't enough problems for us gaining influence, we keep fighting over the issue of what's too worldly of a Christian to make a difference. So no matter how you paint it or politically campaign it, whether you water it down and drain it, it's really all the same, ain't it? It's the same frustration, same constant segregation. Christians living like aliens trying to relate with citizens of a different nation. What always makes for a better presentation than bark and bite is a proper understanding of living life filled with salt and light. So we walk this fine line of walking in light of God's kindness and live with a sense of worldliness without the fear of compromising. Loving God and neighbor until Christ comes to split the sky or die in a society hailing Jesus as Messiah. Yep.